So we are very pleased to be with to be here with all of you today. In this program of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This Krishna Consciousness movement is simply wonderful because it is meant to bring true happiness to everyone in every single corner of the world, in Fiji, in New Zealand, in Australia, in India, in Europe, in the United States of America, in every country of the world. This Krishna Consciousness movement is bringing about the solution to all the problems of the world. It does not matter where we may live in this world. Every place in this material world is a place of misery. This point is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 8, text number 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarubharti narjuna mam upechyata kaunteya punarjamana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Punar janma navidyate. So, this Krishna consciousness movement has been introduced to this material world by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago in India, and it was spread outside of India by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in July of 1966 at 26 Second Avenue in New York City. And since that time, this movement has grown all over the world to so many corners of the world, such as Fiji and many, many other corners of the world. It is spread everywhere. The former Soviet Union, the Eastern European countries like Latvia, Lithuania, these are some of the places that we go on our world preaching. Estonia, Bulgaria. This Hare Krishna movement is spreading everywhere, all over the world. By following the simple principles of Krishna consciousness, it does not matter where you live. You may live in a country that's very nice or a country that's not very nice. Actually, there's no country that's very nice in this material world, actually. There it is, simply wet stool and dry stool. That's all. There's one saying in Bengali that when the dry stool is crying, the wet stool laughs. Why? Because when the cow dung is dried and they throw it in the fire, and the wet dung is laughing, ha 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 ha, just see that dry dung is being thrown in the fire. He does not realize that very soon he will also become dry dung, and he will also be thrown in the fire. You see, so in this material world we are thinking, well, this place is very nice and this place is not very nice. But actually, it is all stool. It is wet stool and dry stool. So if you think you can become happy by changing your position in the material world, then we urge you to think again. Because actually, no matter what you may do to change your position in this material world, you will not be happy. Why? Because this material world is not your actual home. You are an eternal spiritual being, as confirmed in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. The constitutional position of the living being is that he or she is the eternal servant of Krishna. So there's only one change you can make of your living status that will make you happy. Right now, we are engaged in serving our material senses. This is known as Indriya Seva. We are thinking we will be happy by serving this body. Or if we are a little more elevated, we think we will be happy if I serve the body of my wife, my children, my parents, my friends, my community. But you know what? That's crazy. Because you're not the body. Nor are your family members their bodies either. The fact is that each and every living entity throughout the entire universe is not their material body. The material body is only a covering. If I call you Mr. White Shirt, today you may be wearing a white shirt, but tomorrow you may be wearing a green shirt. You see? So, can I call you Mr. White Shirt or Mr. Green Shirt? That is not very accurate. Today you're wearing a purple sari, you see? You're wearing a purple sari. Tomorrow you may wear a green sari. You are not that purple sari. So we are actually the eternal spiritual being. So if we want actual peace, if we want actual happiness in life, then we must revive the knowledge of who I actually am. I'm not this body, I'm the eternal spirit soul. And if you do that, it doesn't matter where you live in the world. You can live in Fiji, you can live in Tasmania, you can live in South Africa, you can live in Latvia. It doesn't matter where you live, Finland. You may live in any place in this world, and if you can revive your dormant Krishna consciousness, you will be unlimitedly happy no matter where you live. You know why? Because you won't be living in that place. You'll be living in... Do you know where? Vaikuntha. You see? The point is, there's no place you can live in this material world that will make you happy. The only place you can live that will make you happy is to live in the spiritual world by doing what? By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you will chant these names with love and devotion, wherever you may be living in the external world, that place will be transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. And you'll be living with Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And wherever there is Krishna, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. Because Krishna guarantees those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then he will personally protect. But what is that condition of Krishna? He says, those who worship me with exclusive devotion, Do you know what is the meaning of exclusive? That means you're devoted to Krishna and nobody else. It's not that Krishna is just one of the gods. Well, you know, I've got that. There's Krishna and Shiva and Brahma and this and that, and they're all the same. No. Krishna wants to be exclusively worshipped as the one supreme being. You can't output other people on the same level as Krishna. You know, this Baba, that Baba, this yogi, and they're all Bhagavan. No. If you take that philosophy, then Krishna will not give you that protection. But if you exclusively worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one, without a second, then Krishna will protect whatever you have and he'll supply you whatever you're missing. You won't have any anxieties about anything. You simply must fully, totally give yourself to Lord Sri Krishna. And then you'll be the happiest person in the whole universe. I guarantee it. We make a solid guarantee. If you seriously give yourself fully to Krishna for 6 months, and you do not become the most happy, satisfied person, then we will give you $10,000 cash. So you have nothing to lose. You'll either be $10,000 richer or you become the happiest person in the whole world. You see? I've been making this offer for many years. And to date, no one has ever come forward for the cash. Why? Because this process works. Truth works. And somebody asks you, what is the proof of Krishna consciousness's validity? You simply say, you give him a nice smile, and you just simply say, my dear sir, it is very simple. Truth works. That's all. Truth works. The untruth doesn't work. It's just like you get something from the manufacturer which is defective and you turn it on and nothing happens. You have to take it back down to the store and say, I just brought this fan from you and it doesn't work. So I'm going to trade it in for a fan that does work. He says, okay. Give you a 30-day guarantee, no problem. Give you a different one. You take it home and it works. So Krishna consciousness works. It does. If it didn't work, then what am I doing here? You see? What am I doing here? Has somebody paid me to come to Fiji? No. Actually, it cost me money to come to Fiji. I had to pay money to come here. I'm losing money by coming here, actually. So why am I doing this? Because truth works. There's so much nectar in practicing Krishna consciousness that I'm willing to pay money to do it. You see? I'm willing to pay for it. It's so sweet. Practicing Krishna consciousness is so sweet and so wonderful. I'm willing to pay for it. Because it gives something which is very sweet and very sublime. Do you know what that is? That is called amrita. In English, we say nectar, but actually that doesn't really give the full meaning. The Sanskrit gives the real meaning. It must be the same in Hindi also, huh? Amrita. Amrit. Same thing. Deathlessness. Mrita or amrit, that is death, and is not. So Krishna consciousness is amrit. Amrita. It is deathlessness. In this material world, everyone is afraid of death. Everyone. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how powerful you are. As long as you're in this material world, you must be afraid of death. Everyone. Except for one person. Who is that? That is the bhakta. That person who has become devotee of Krishna, they have nothing to fear from death. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can protect you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. Everyone move forward. Everyone move forward so the latecomers will have a place. They won't have a bottleneck there by the door. Everyone just come forward there, yeah. There's plenty of room. Come forward, come forward. So, there is nothing so sublime. There is nothing so sweet. There is nothing so wonderful as Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness movement. What does it mean, the Krishna consciousness movement? The Krishna consciousness movement means the expansion of Krishna consciousness. If you think, do you think that Krishna consciousness is a very nice thing? Do you all think that Krishna consciousness is a very nice thing?
Yes.
So would you like more of it?
Yes.
To have more Krishna consciousness means expanding Krishna consciousness. Expanding Krishna consciousness means the Krishna consciousness movement. We are coming together as a family of devotees for the sake of helping each other to expand each other's Krishna consciousness and to expand Krishna consciousness to those who do not yet have it. This is called Para Upakar by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the topmost welfare activity. Many people say, well, you know, we have to feed the poor, we have to give them a turkey on Thanksgiving. What have you done when you give the poor person a turkey for Thanksgiving? Guess what? Guess who's going to become a turkey in their next life? You are, you rascal! You'll be going around gobble, 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 gobble in your next lifetime until Thanksgiving Day comes or Christmas comes and they kill you and eat you. So what is the use of such so-called charity? You're simply sending that yourself and the person that ate the turkey, you're sending them down to become turkeys. Do they do that in Fiji? Turkey in America is very big. Is that turkey a custom here? Not so much?
Chicken.
In America, once a year or twice a year, on Christmas Day and on Thanksgiving, everyone wants to eat turkey bird. It's a big, huge bird. The chicken is a small bird. So turkey is a big bird. So they do that every year. And even at the office, many companies, they'll give every employee a turkey for Thanksgiving. Considered a special gift from the company. So these foolish people don't realize that they're going to become turkeys in their next life. That's all. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are actually meant to expand our own Krishna consciousness more and more and more and to share it with everyone else so that everyone else can become truly peaceful, truly happy. So how will we do that? How will we expand this Krishna consciousness movement? So that every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet Earth will be attracted to join this movement. Even the Fijians can be attracted to join this movement. Formerly they were cannibals, isn't it? And the Christian missionaries came and taught them to pray to God. So they gave some elementary idea. Now we can give them a higher idea, you see. If we have the courage of the original Christian missionaries who risked their lives, were even eaten by the people here. They were so daring and bold. So if we can have some courage and some enthusiasm, how we can spread Krishna consciousness to all the people of this country of Fiji. This is not a Hindu religion. Do I look like I'm from a Hindu family? As we said this morning in the temple, what is that prayer? Did we sing one prayer? Hindu Nata Swami Nayana Pata Kaluni Bhavatuli. No, we don't say Hindu Nata Swami. No, we don't say that. We say Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatuli. Jagannath, he is the Lord of everyone. He's the Lord of the Christians, he's the Lord of the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindus, everyone. There's that one Lord, Krishna, who is the Lord of everyone. So how will we attract them to come and bow down at the feet of their eternal Lord? Krishna gives the answer to this question in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 21. Yanyanachriti shvestastattare vetarojana sayapramanam kurute lokastandanubhartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So it's really very simple. All we have to do is become acharyas. We have to learn how to become perfectly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The more we can develop ideal character and ideal relationships amongst ourselves, we will see this movement will grow like anything. Right now, one of the fastest growing religious movements in the world is the Mormons, but their philosophy is completely nonsense, completely bogus. Some concocted so-called Book of Mormon. We have the real thing. We have the Bhagavad Gita. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam. We simply have to develop the ideal character and the ideal loving relationships amongst ourselves, and then more and more and more people from all walks of life, the Chinese, the Fijians, the Hindus, the Europeans, the Americans, the New Zealanders, the Kiwis, they call them, South Africans, all over the world, people will come to join this Krishna consciousness movement of Srila Prabhupada. We simply have to develop ideal character amongst ourselves and be enthusiastic to share this with everyone. This is called love. If you see that a person is suffering, if you see that a person is unhappy, just like today we were coming, this is supposed to be the most joyous day of the year for the Christians. And I saw some Fijian young people sitting on a sidewalk in front of a store that was closed, and they looked completely morose, you see. There was no joy in their face. But here I see there are so many enlivened, joyful faces, you see. They say, and it's a fact, Prabhupada says, the face is the index of the mind. If you're in Maya, you cannot hide it. When your spiritual master or a senior devotee looks at your face, you mainly know this person is in Maya. can immediately see this person is in Maya because they're not joyful. They're not radiating bliss of Krishna consciousness. So we have to become serious about this process of Krishna consciousness. Chanting the holy name, taking shelter of our guru, or if we don't have a guru, seeking a guru, you see. Taking shelter of Guru Maharaj, following his instructions nicely, according to the teachings in Prabhupada's books, which are the foundation of all of our lives. If we will very carefully read Prabhupada's books, hear the lectures given in the temples, and follow the instructions very seriously, then we will become very, very ideal persons of ideal character. And when we tell other people about this wonderful process, we give them a book, it will be very powerful and effective. They will have an impact on them. If you are totally convinced that Krishna consciousness is the absolute truth, I guarantee you, you can convince many, many other people to follow that pathway. If you look at the numbers, if one person is totally convinced, and he's able to convince someone else who's able to convince someone else who's able to convince someone else, by that simple power of one, the whole world can become inundated with this Krishna consciousness movement. What to speak if one devotee can convince two people who can convince two people who can convince two people? Then it spreads even faster. So what do you think is holding us back from inundating the whole world within 18 days? That's right. He is Vishwanath Prabhu is immediately understood because we are lacking in conviction. We are not convinced. Prabhupada told us that in Los Angeles. I'm talking too fast now. He told us in Los Angeles that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and you are thinking, maybe. Is it? We are influenced by atheistic propaganda. We are influenced by all those science courses we took at school. We're poisoned by it. That's why we have to read the books of Srila Prabhupada to free ourselves of this mental contamination which is sitting in our hearts. This is why we have to chant at least 16 rounds every day, seriously trying to avoid those 10 offenses. Because this will free the hurt from the dirt and the hurt from the heart. Now I can use that Freudian slip. Dirt means hurt, and hurt means dirt. The more dirt you have in the heart, the more you will feel hurt. That's a thing. So, do you like to feel hurt? No. Then get rid of the dirt. By chanting every day, quality japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you do this diligently, you'll become totally convinced, and you can convince so many other people to join this Krishna consciousness, and you can train them how to be convinced so they can convince others who can convince others who can convince others who can convince others. We are existing right now at the most exciting moment in the history of the world, actually. The whole world is suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. And now Srila Prabhupada is given his wonderful books so we can understand perfectly what is Krishna consciousness, and we can easily pass that knowledge on to others. If we will capitalize on this opportunity, then we will have the most glorious, exciting lives that we could ever conceive of in our wildest imagination as spiritual revolutionaries. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would quote mundane personalities if that quote was relevant for Krishna consciousness. Just like he quoted the famous American philosopher Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and Krishna conscious." No, wise, but that is Krishna consciousness. You see. So I wanted to quote one mundane person because his quote is very relevant for us. We can use that in Krishna's service. You may have heard of this person, that Bill Gates, Microsoft, wealthiest man in the world. He was asked, what was his secret of success? How did he make it so big? And he said, of course, he was a college dropout. He didn't finish his degree. He dropped out of college and started Microsoft. He was a college dropout. Didn't even finish school. But one is a young kid, young, real nerdy kid. Nerdy means a good brain for computers. he somehow got the contract to write the operating system for the IBM PC when the personal computer was just taking off like a revolution. He was the one who wrote the first software to operate it. So he said this. Here was his piece of advice. He said, if you find yourself at the right place, at the right time, then you should take massive action. That's what he did. He didn't let anything stop, and he knew he was sitting on top of a tremendous gold mine. And he just exploded to the hilt. So, my dear ladies and gentlemen, participants in this Krishna consciousness movement, I would like to inform you that you are in the right place and it is the right time. Now you kindly take massive action. Seriously take up your chanting. Seriously take up reading Srila Prabhupada's books and seriously take up the activity of preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada told one of my godbrothers, he said, if as much as possible you will read, chant, and preach, then very soon this Hare Krishna movement will be the only religion in the world. This will become the world religion. If we follow this very simple formula, as much as possible, read Prabhupada's books, not Time magazine. Prabhupada's books. As far as possible, read, chant, that means Hare Krishna mantra, not these other bogus mantras like Namyo, Renge, Kyoho, whatever they call it. No, the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra. Read Prabhupada's books, chant the Maha mantra, and preach Krishna consciousness. You see, preach to each other and preach to the general public. If we do these things, and very soon this will be the world religion. So, it is a very, very golden opportunity. It is predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world. So, who will be that generation of Vaishnavas that see it happen? That is up to the Vaishnavas. How enthusiastic they are to read, chant, and preach. If we don't do it during our lifetimes, then some other future generation of Vaishnavas, they will do them. So even if we don't see the complete manifestation of that prediction, we should do everything possible to make it happen as soon as possible, as long as we're alive. As I sometimes say, the purpose of my existence on this planet is to, at every minute, make as big of a noise as possible for Prabhupada until I die. Actually. To make the biggest possible noise for Prabhupada until I die. That's how we should go out of this world, making a big noise for Prabhupada. How great is Srila Prabhupada? How great are these books? How great is this Hare Krishna movement? In this way we should take massive action, because we are at the right place. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has just recently touched this land, this very island, with his two lotus feet. Do you realize how rare it is to get the dust of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet? He has recently touched this very island. And Viti Levu has been touched by the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada just a few years ago, not very many years ago. So we are here in this land that has been blessed by the presence of the pure devotee, Kaliya, who is still here, and the pure devotee, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This land is doubly blessed by these two great, great Vaishnavas. Of course, Kaliya was a rascal, but after Krishna subdued him in the Jamuna, then he became a pure devotee, and he was sent here to Fiji by Krishna. They say he's still hiding out in the mountains. If we get serious about preaching here to make everyone Krishna conscious, I'm sure that Kaliya will come and make a special guest appearance for us. He's just waiting for us to get serious about preaching. He's still hiding out. If we get very serious to make everyone Krishna conscious, Kaliya will come out. Because the local people, they actually still worship that big snake. So then we can help them to understand who he actually is, and he will come and bless everyone with his darshan. That will be a glorious day for Fiji when Kaliya comes out of hiding. So let us take this massive action. Let us become very, very, very serious about Krishna consciousness. And we chant with great focus, with great intensity of mind, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can ask now if there's some questions. As I stated earlier, that I spent thousands of dollars for Vishnupriya Mataji and I to travel all over the world, and we've come here to Fiji simply so we can answer your questions. And if you don't ask any questions, then we're just wasting thousands of dollars of Krishna's money. We've come here to answer your questions, to help you advance on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. So if you have a question, please, don't be shy, raise your hand. I appreciate every, you think, well, maybe the question isn't appropriate, but no, every single question, I guarantee you, I will appreciate any and all questions you may have. So don't be shy, please ask your questions. And if that little sales pitch doesn't work, I have another strategy. You're ready for the end. Yes.
So, how will it happen when the first Bhagavad Gita says, in you, when it also, Yadi and Aji, we don't do it, then how is everybody else?
Yes, there was. Actually, Prabhupada even went so far as to say, even if you all leave this movement because the books are there, someone will come along and revive it. Prabhupada's books have the Shakti. That's the point. Even if we all bloop and become karmis, Prabhupada's books are out there and they have the Shakti. Somebody will come along and read these books and they'll become a pure devotee and they will do it. But why someone else should get the glory? Prabhupada said, you're always saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada, but why don't you become glorious? He challenged us like that. He said, why don't you become glorious? Why we should let some other future generation do? Why don't we take up this greatest opportunity that Prabhupada is giving us? Become purified to, as far as possible, intensely absorb ourselves in chanting, reading, and preaching, and serving. Why don't we do this? Take advantage of this opportunity. Prabhupada said, in 18 days we can make the whole world Krishna conscious if you will simply cooperate with me. You see? So why don't we do that? Why don't we take up Prabhupada's invitation and do it now? That's my challenge to you all. Questions more?
Guruji, I'm sometimes wondering that Prabhupada is encouraging so much of preaching, yet, you know, we see sometimes that Prabhupada also encourages establishing temples. But once we see that, like, many times when temples are established, then what happens is it appears that the devotees start losing focus on preaching and start focusing on being comfortable and, sort of just engage in, you know, maintaining whatever has been achieved. But it appears from the way you are explaining that the Prabhupada's focus was expanding this.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that previously we were struggling in Calcutta, but then someone donated this big marble temple, and now, instead of the focus being on preaching, now devotees are simply fighting who will occupy what room in the temple. And he said, therefore, I say it is better that you sell the marble of the temple than print books. So it is up to the devotees to keep always... The facility is there, it is very nice, but you must always be in the mood of the spiritual... Always in the mood of a spiritual revolutionary, thinking, well, now we have gotten this facility, now we have to use it to expand our movement even more. I mean, what if Papa... Tomorrow Krishna Goswami Maharaj, when he was a young brahmachari, Srila Prabhupada told him in one letter, he said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with it? So whatever facility we're able to get, we simply use it to live comfortably and then gratify our senses. Then Krishna won't give us any more. That's all we're going to get. And we may lose that also. You see, our mission is, we are meant to, as Prabhupada told us in Bombay, I mentioned this morning, we are meant to lead the entire world out of chaos. We have to keep that world mission focus always there in our hearts. Not just thinking, well, we have our Hindu sect now, you know. We're comfortably situated in our Hindu sect. No, we are meant to bring every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet into the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is our mission. So we have to keep always that world preaching mission alive and see whatever facility we've gotten now, we simply have to offer that in the fire of the world preaching mission. Should never take some facility for comfort. That will be the end of our spiritual life if we do that.
And also, Prabhu, I feel that it also doesn't mean that preaching would mean, you know, that we'll be just sitting in the temple and waiting for the conditioned souls to come, you know, whoever is interested to come and, you know, become Krishna conscious. I feel, you know, Prabhupada wants us to go out to the people.
Prabhupada definitely. He wanted, when I joined the movement, he said, you must every day go out in the Sankirtan party, every day. It was Prabhupada's order. He wanted that every day we should live. Of course, these are devotees living in ashram, who aren't working job. But in America now, we have a program called Weekend Warriors. That on the weekends, the householder, they will get some spot in front of a store. They'll get permission from the owner of the store to set up a book table. So every householder on the weekend, they get some spot. Maybe the wife, the husband, the children, they go out and they work a book table together. And all the people who come by, they offer them Prabhupada's books, and this way they're called weekend warriors, you see. So everyone should become very eager for preaching. They should find some favorable merchant who will let you set up a book table in front of his store, and you should make these books available to everyone. Fijians, Indians, Chinese, all the people here in Fiji should be given Prabhupada's books, encouraged to read. These books are very powerful. We should do public chanting, we should do a book distribution, Shadam distribution, just like now you have the Padayatra coming up. This is very good. There should be very enlivened, enthusiastic programs to share this Krishna consciousness. This is how the Mormons are growing like anything. Even though their religion is a farce, still they are spreading it by their enthusiasm. So if we become similarly enthusiastic, we have something which is not a farce. We have the absolute truth. If we will spread this, it will be hundreds and thousands of times more successful than what the Mormons are doing. We simply have to get out of this, cocoon mentality. Just wanting to, go inside our little comfort zone and not come out. If we're not always trying to expand this Krishna consciousness movement, it will become stagnant. A river which is not flowing forward becomes stagnant. No one wants to take a swim in that river that's stagnant. A river which is moving forward, that is a wonderful, enlivening river to swim in. So this Krishna consciousness, what's it called? Krishna consciousness movement. It's not called Krishna consciousness stagnant. You see? That means it must always be moving forward. How we can train our... First thing is our existing members we have now, how we can train them to become pure devotees. See, that's the first thing. Every member must be trained how to become a pure devotee so they can relish the sweetest nectar at every minute, be fully satisfied with in all conditions. You see, that's pure bhakti. Our first duty is whatever members now we have, train them to become pure devotees. And then engage all these enlivened, advanced devotees that we're training to share this nectar with everyone, so everyone can become happy in the whole world. These are very good questions. I appreciate very much. Very meaningful questions. Are there any other questions? Is everybody here eager to become pure devotees? Let's see a show of hands. Who would like to become a pure devotee of Krishna? Jai. Very good. This pure devotion is very, very important. So now, to achieve pure devotion, we will have the japa class. Try to chant with complete focus of mind, realizing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's one without a second. Pray to be absorbed purely and totally in His devotional service. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.